Oh yeah, don't say napping. We'll lose Sleepy Crumb.
All sleepy.
You're hanging in there pretty good. You're on a tall chair. If you fall asleep, you know, it's a long way down.
But I guess it makes sense for people to want to play music until they hear good music. You figure half the people that are fans are also amateur musicians.
Well, that's one of the things about the Cracker and Camper. Actually, there's such creativity from the musicians in those bands that they actually attract a lot of fans who themselves are musicians and play in bands, and when they show up to a camp out, they bring an acoustic guitar, or they bring their mandolin, or they bring their,
you know what, the thing is,
trombone.
There's some bands that you can't, like amateur guitarists can't attempt to just pick up a guitar and play, but especially Cracker, I think there's a lot of just simple rock songs there, and especially your songs.
Yeah, there's something to that. I remember listening even on Thursday night when there, you know, everyone gets one free or something, and
everybody gets one free from the Greenlight album. Yeah.
And I was just thinking, you know, in the old days, as songwriters, in the old days, we were kind of trying to shy away from simple songs because we learned more chords, you know.
Yeah.
And I was sort of amongst that group between Lowry and John and a few of our other kind of songwriting cohorts, as someone who, you know, would always put in, you know, three extra chords when it wasn't necessary, just because it was sort of enticing. But over time, all of us, all our songs, and you listen to the history arc of our songs, have become in some ways much more direct and more simple and sort of easier to play. And I think it's influenced by I know for me, one of my most fun experiences ever was you know, looking online and seeing like someone who'd sent in the tabs for another song about the rain, you know, and I was looking, it wasn't right, but it was cool. And no. There's a lot of variations of that song, because John also then plays in different keys. Like, a whole lot of trouble was written in another key, and or even the lyrics, I'll read the lyrics that there's fans have written in what the lyrics are, a whole lot of trouble that aren't the original lyrics.
You keep talking about Mungo, Chris. I don't know if you know this. Mungo over in Britain has a website called The Van. That's
lyrics. We were talking about that yesterday. Yeah. So I better fix up that whole lot of trouble one. But that's what's so cool about it, is that as an artist, you get a notion that somebody else is sitting down, and not just experience the song on a CD or a recording or something, but that they're sitting down and they're messing with it on the guitar, and that's where the wrongness goes right out the window. And so, like, you know, how do any of us learn to play guitar, you know? And the first time I learned, I think, Blowing in the Wind or something, you know? And, you know, I had a chord book, but that wasn't even helping me, and if I sat there and I was trying to read the chords, I wouldn't have done the song right, but I had to kind of hear it. For here's how the song sounds to me, and then form the chords around it. And to know that someone else is doing that with your own material, it's a complete thrill. I mean, you think someone's actually working this thing out. That's a heavy duty commitment, you know, because it's hard to play an instrument and have someone take the time to go and put those tabs in. Because I remember the first time I was looking, I go, oh, that's the wrong chord in there. And I go, wait, somebody was actually taking time to do this. That's probably the greatest honor of all, and so I love it. And in some of the lyrics and stuff that have come out for some of the songs I've written are wrong, but they're better than the lyrics that they started off with. So some of these lines, they'll just go in. I mean, John, he was telling me he was in France somewhere, and some person that came up, play another song about the rain, and I was just cracking up because I didn't think of that song beyond, you know, me playing it the first time, you know, with my little four-track recorder, and my experience of it isn't the Cracker version. It's this little funny thing, you know, that'll end up on the songbook eventually, but it's the same kind of momentum or energy that then goes into someone who really likes that song and is willing to put time into it to learn that song. And it's a completely unique experience, you know, so that's what I really appreciate. I can't protest too much if the chords are different or the words are different, because sometimes they're better.
Send me the right ones.
Oh, yeah. On the songbook, I mean, I put up the whole lot of trouble ones. And I'll even write on the top and go, these are the real lyrics to the song. But it lives on its own. Dylan certainly knows that, or has celebrated that idea that, that the songs aren't set in stone. And he changes lyrics and approaches to from show to show and day to day. And so his notion that a song is a living entity, that's opened up a lot of opportunities for all of us as people are communicating through music. That, you know, it's just kind of like the framework. The song is sort of like the framework. What someone does with it next is it's its own new innovation.
Even more so now with the internet, because you can just keep, you know,
generations,
newer versions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I know Cracker have done that quite a lot in the past. You know, yeah. The first demos are put on a website somewhere. You see the whole journey of the song almost.
Yeah, because they're never the same. Where you bring in the old days of the Dangers with Johnny. I, you know, wrote a lot of songs, and I'd show up into the, you know, our practice room, and I'd have like six songs in just the hand, just walk in, you know. We practiced 4 days ago. I come, I got six songs, and, you know, around these guys said, damn it, Leroy, go away with your, you know, sorry ass six songs. They would make it into beautiful music. It was never quite what I had. John's a wonderful arranger, I'll tell you. The secret of any band that he's been connected to, from the Dangers to the Unforgiven to all the way up to Hickman Dalton, is the real beauty in John is his arrangement skills, or the ears in which he hears the song new, and he sees these possibilities. So I bring these rough things. You see how I play guitar. It's like I barely get the chords ever right, but he, in his hands, he would sit there and he would just create this beautiful landscape of which then your song takes on a whole new depth and meaning and such. And it may be in there, but unless you have this really, really strong, not only, it's not just a musician, but he's a musical soul. And to have someone that's his true value in a way is that not only as a songwriter, but how he's interpreted for years and years and years and helped Lowry or myself, reimagine those first songs as they come in. It's an incredible skill, and when you listen to a Cracker album with this really cool arrangement, or you just neat how that song turns out, you know, you're thinking of John, you're thinking of his framework, and it's just a part of the way he operates. It's cool.